This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for your time. We want you to know that we have been praying for you, and we're asking the Lord to be our guide. He is our guide into all truth, and it is through receiving His truth into the secret places you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me lead us in prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for this study of the invisible war. We thank you for the study of your word that teaches us these eternal matters. We pray, Lord, that every hindrance would be removed, every cover, block, every thwart, every assignment that would come against us from receiving your truth that can set us free would be removed by the finger of God. May the heavens be open. May the atmosphere be clean. Lord, may our hearts be receptive for the work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we pray this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your Bibles ready. You may want to have a pad and a pen so you can take good notes. Let's get to the study. Where we left off last time in the invisible war.
Now, God is merciful. Can I get an amen on that? We wouldn't be sitting here if He was not merciful. He loves us with an undying love. I don't understand it, but I sure am grateful for it. I sure love Him back for it. I thank Him for it. That His mercies are brand new every day. And He gives your family 120 years to confess their sins of unrighteousness. That's a gracious God. He gives a whole generation. What's a generation? 32 years? 30, 32 years? There's some dispute. Let me just simply say, think of it in terms of, for this study, 30 years. He gives us 120 years for us to turn from our abomination, our wickedness, and come back to Him. And then if I don't do it, He gives my children a chance to repent. If they don't repent, He gives my grandchildren a chance to repent of these matters. And then the great-grandchildren. And then, listen to me, the enemy gets more powerful in the family each generation that says no to the Lord. It becomes a snowball spiritually, okay? Until finally, the last generation will be in such darkness, will be in such sorrow. Many of them will be barren. They will not have children. You will see this over and over again. But God is merciful. He gives 120 years... until finally the judgment falls. Now, does that mean the children are guilty of the sins of their fathers? No. No, it's what the psychiatrists call, or the medical community, genetic predispositions. There are weaknesses that are passed down from generation to generation. Let me put it this way. Demons travel, the highway that demons travel is the highway of sin and disobedience. I want to say that again. Sin is the highway demons travel. And so when they find in a family an area of disobedience, they begin to go to work. And they'll work, and they'll work, and they'll work, and the Lord's always calling everyone to repentance. And if they do not repent, if they die in that sin without repentance, without getting right with God, demons, the devil is a legalist. You've heard me say that in this study. I'll say it again many times. He's a lawyer. If he's been given the right, somehow in the lineage, into the family, that right that he's been given, that ground, if you please, has to be discovered and has to be cleansed before these curses are gone. Well, let me simply say again, Satan does not cause us to sin. I want to say that again. Man is free to choose righteousness or unrighteousness. But our sin separates us from holy God. All Satan does is scheme ways to encourage our disobedience to God, which joins us to his rebellion against God. What is rebellion? It is witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Then he is able to exploit these family sins, if you please, against God through the vilest, vile, evil attention. Okay? Now, all sin carries spiritual consequences. The wages of sin is death. And all of these serious spiritual consequences can ultimately lead to spiritual bondage. Now that you have been saved, the right to be free is your birthright in the Lord Jesus. Folks, many of us can make a long, painful list of those who are saved who have ended in bondage. I want you to see this carefully because there's a lot of confusion here. If you and I do not walk in the freedom that the Lord Jesus has given us through repentance and the confession of our sin before God, spiritual defeat is certain and the generational curses continue. It is common in the counselor's room to see children who by no fault of their own carry the sins of their parents. Crack babies. Heroin addicted babies. They had nothing to do with it. AIDS babies. They had nothing to do, but the sins of their fathers have been sent. The consequences of those sins have been passed on to those children. All right? It is the same thing in the realm of the supernatural. The Bible calls these demons familial spirits. They are demons that are assigned to families, and they pass from generation to generation to generation. In ministry, we've all seen it. You'll see a drunk father who will end up having a drunk son. You'll see a family who has drug addiction in the family history. And sure enough, the grandkids will start dealing with drugs. You'll see it over and over again. I've seen it in the counseling room. A young teenage girl comes for counseling, and she's pregnant outside of wedlock. And all of a sudden, you begin to counsel with the family, and you would be amazed, folks, as you learn that her mama was too, and her grandmother. It goes back. That does not mean that these children are not free to choose. And by the way, the Bible makes it very, very plain. You cannot blame your sins on your fathers. Okay? You can't blame your fathers for your disobedience. But there are weaknesses that are passed down in our generations. A tightwad father will have a bunch of tightwad children. Okay? You giggle, but Jesus saved us from becoming tightwads. Why? He came to make us like Jesus. And thank God Jesus was not a tightwad. Amen? He gave his best. And although these family traits we kind of think are cute, the fact remains is that if it's not like Christ, then it's not of him and his work in our lives. And the enemy exploits these areas of disobedience. Now again, you cannot blame Exodus 25. You cannot blame the sins of your fathers for your sin. You cannot do it. But there are predispositional weaknesses that are passed down until these areas, these grounds of working of the enemy is cleaned up in a family line. We prayed with a fella in West Texas. He came to hear the band. He didn't even come to hear me speak. And the Lord got a hold of him. And I said, "What's going on in your life?" He says, "Every time I try to pray, there's something dead inside of me." Now, these were his words. "Every time I get before the Lord, I just feel dead inside of me." I said, "Is there any witchcraft in your family?" And he thought a moment and he looked at his wife and they said, "Well, we sought a fortune teller when we were dating." I said, "Have you ever asked God to cleanse you of that?" "No." I said, "Don't you think it's about time?" I said, "Is there anything else before we pray that we need to know? Is there anything else going on in your life?" And he was very slow in bringing forth the truth. But, "Well, my grandfather was the grand wizard of the KKK. And I remember him taking black men's ears and bringing them home, and nailing them to the post. Anything else we need to know before we pray? Well, his wife was a witch. Now, she didn't call it that, but she could do something and remove warts, you know. She could, if a cow in the county, the vet couldn't take care of it, and they didn't want to lose that calf or cow, they could bring it to my grandmother and she could heal it. Anything else? Well, yeah, my sister's a witch. There are three men that have died that I know of because of spells that she's cast. And so Patty and I were praying there with them till about 11 o'clock that night. And God is so faithful. He's so merciful. But folks, to ignore these matters is to allow the enemy an advantage in the invisible war. These areas must be cleaned up, and praise God, they can be. Well, there's much to say. Let me just conclude the matter of generational curses this way. How many of us know for sure that no one in your last four generations, 120 years, has made a promise or a pact with the devil? How many of you know for sure? Agreements someone may have made for the sake of fame, money, healing, love, and the like. How many know for sure that our great-great-grandfather didn't call on the wicked one to give him what he wanted? Who knows what false gods have been sought and worshipped by those who have gone before? From the Eastern religion practices of the 1960s, Indian worship. How many of you have Indian background in your blood? Okay? You know what Indian worship is, don't you? The worship of demons. False gods. Now, where do you get that, Brother Rob? Where in the world do you get the Bible? Okay? Deuteronomy 32:17. I want you to see this. Don't take my word for it. Beginning in verse 16, they made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God. All false gods, folks. There is one Lord. There is one God who created all of us for His glory. All other gods. I don't care how sincere the family was. I don't care how sincere. Listen, nobody was more sincere than the prophets of Baal. They were cutting themselves. You talk about sincere. They called down fire from heaven. It didn't come. You remember how sincere they were. They worked themselves into a demonic frenzy. I don't care how genuine, how loving, or how sincere the person is. There is one Lord who is worthy to be worshipped. And His name is the Lord Jesus. And any time you involve yourself in any kind of worship other than worshiping Him, you have involved yourself in idolatry, and any worship of any god, whatever the name is a demon, according to the Scriptures. There is one Lord and one over all. And folks, there are no secrets in heaven. From Indian worship of ancestors to the secret oaths made in unholy rituals and lodges. How many of us know for sure that our forefathers have not been involved in these matters? We don't, but the devil does. He was there. And God does. He was there. And His word is forever settled in heaven. There are no secrets in heaven. So what do we do about it? There's a prayer for deliverance from ancestral curses. It's called renunciation and affirmation. I would encourage you, before you pillow your head tonight, for you and your wife, your family, whoever you can get together, if no one, at least you, pray this out loud. Declare it out loud. Why? Demons cannot hear your thoughts. They can only hear what you say. And so it is advisable to speak it out loud. Go ahead and look at it, study it, but I'll promise you this is a very powerful, powerful prayer that will help you allow the Lord to clean up these generational matters. Now the question always comes, do I have the right to clean up what's in my children's life? The answer is, as long as they're still underneath your roof, you have great authority, especially the men. You are the priest of your home. And when the union with you and your wife, you have that spiritual authority to ask the Lord to clean up these matters in their lives. But let me also say to you that once they are born, this stuff passes on. So teach your children to walk in holiness and righteousness. Teach them what confession of sin is and how important it is, how necessary it is to be cleansed before the Lord. So again, let me encourage you, before you pillow your head, pray this prayer out loud. We have found it to be extremely helpful And if you will do so and ask the Lord to come and have His will, this is a very serious matter that cannot be ignored if you want your family to be free in Christ. All right, demonization and the believer. Saved but not safe. It's amazing how the subject of Christians and their relationship to the darkness becomes a point of contention within the church. It would seem to me that if there was ever an area where we would work toward a biblical agreement, it would be this one. The enemy knows that if we stay in the area of argument and division, we won't look for the truth that can set people free. So the reality is, instead of studying for the sake of truth, we draw our self-centered conclusions, wrap them up in our spiritual platitudes, and scurry to the nearest place of so-called personal safety. All the while, in our willing ignorance, those we love around us continue bound up in darkness. The Apostle Paul said that in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, we are not ignorant of his schemes. Well, I confess to you, I was. I took a whole lot of this for granted, folks. I just want to tell you, I just thought that now that I was saved, I didn't have to mess with this. Now that I was born again, I didn't have to bother with these matters. And I want to tell you, ignorance may be bliss, but it is deadly in spiritual warfare. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The only thing we have to fear, church, is our ignorance. And we got a bunch of that. And I'm Mr. Dummy. Okay? I didn't want to get involved in this, but for the sake of my family, I knew I had to. So listen carefully as we study. All of us can make a long, painful list of those in ministry who have had to forsake their ministries because of the attacks of the enemy. The schemes of the enemy to attack and ultimately control the believer are totally different than how he controls the non-believer. Although the results of destruction look the same in the believer as well as the non-believer, the process is very different. It is still kill and destroy. But the way that took place in a believer's life is altogether different than the way that took place in a non-believer's life. When it comes to God's people, evil spirits are spirits of influence. The battle in the believer is in the mind. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. But that's not true of non-believers. Satan has them firmly bound, and the Bible says blinded. There is a fog, as it were. They're in a spiritual fog, and he has blinded them that even when they hear the gospel, they don't understand it, and they don't see it. Unless, of course, someone is praying for them. Someone is leading them to Christ. Someone is asking the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, and that's lead them to faith in Christ. We are workers together with Him. Soul winning is a work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you've ever done any of it, you know that. We don't win anybody. It is the Spirit of God working through us. Now, Christians are already possessed, owned by the Holy Spirit. So demonic possession in the sense of ownership is not the issue. The issue is the influence the evil one can exert on the believer. Dr. Scott Moreau, assistant professor of missions in the International Intercultural Studies at Wheaton Graduate School, explained, "One general principle must be noted on the onset. Demons can only influence believers to the extent that we allow them to do so. The act of giving or allowing Satan to take any amount of control in our life is referred to as giving ground," Ephesians 4:27. Dr. Clinton Arnold, professor of New Testament language and literature and director of the THM program at Talbot School of Theology, describes the process and how to resist this way. "It is likely that any sinful activity that the believer does not deal with by the power of the Holy Spirit can be exploited by the devil and turned into means of control over a believer's life. Therefore, Christians need to resist. For Paul, there is no middle ground. There is no nominal Christianity. Believers either resist the influence of the evil one who works in the flesh, the world, or they relinquish control of their lives to the powers of darkness. It is critical that Christians understand their vulnerability to demonic influence, that they may have an adequate biblical answer for any situation they face. If you blame God for the addiction. Let's say a kid has an addiction. He is bound. He was born again as a child. And there is a drug addiction, a sex addiction, a pornography addiction. I want you to hear me. Here's this person who has obviously been saved. They've been born again. There's been fruits of righteousness. There's been fruit of the Spirit. You see, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, there was a door open and a slippery slope. And now that believer is now in bondage. If we're not careful, we'll get erudite, won't we? We'll get judgmental and say, well, maybe they weren't really saved. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing how quick we run to that? Because we sure don't want to deal with this. And so we relinquish those who have fallen into sin. Maybe they aren't really believers. So we don't have to get our hands dirty. And that's a place we can run in our judgmental spirit. And so here's this child. Here's this young person. Many of you, you can list a dozen of these folks. Kids you grew up with here in the church. You know, love the Lord. You saw the fruits of their righteousness, but they fell into drug addiction. What in the world's going on? What is happening? All right? If you say to that person, snap out of it, boy. Just snap out of it. They can't. They're in bondage. They can't snap out of it. Why, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Snap out of it. Folks, it's not that simple. They're in bondage. And so immediately you begin to be a part of the system of the enemy that causes them to wonder if they really were saved. Let me tell you something. Doubt in the invisible war will get you killed. Or you blame God. I've prayed that God would free me from this, and He hadn't answered my prayer. So your faith is destroyed. Or you blame the person again, and in the flesh, he can't fix it. There's no way. But you leave that person with no resolve. No way to handle these spiritual issues. When I first seriously considered the questions of Christians and demonization, I, like so many of you, could not understand how this could be. It didn't make sense to me. And through faulty deductive reasoning, I had drawn my conclusions, then working from my comfortable conclusions, I worked backwards to prove them. We must resist the temptation to resolve the conflict intellectually without revolving it spiritually, resolving it spiritually and biblically. Because we don't want to deal in these specific areas. Ignorance, however comfortable, is not bliss, especially in the invisible war.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org. And from there, you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. A place to share your prayer request and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there, you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. Okay, I need everyone to stop what you're doing and listen to the great news I want to share with you. Because of the many requests for us to bring the Invisible War Conference to the western part of the DFW Metroplex, we are coming to Fort Worth. That's right, our upcoming conference will be held in the Fort Worth area. I am more and more amazed at how aggressive the enemy and his deadly schemes have intensified against the church, our communities, and especially against our children. It is becoming increasingly more and more impossible to ignore the battle we face with the forces of darkness. The Invisible War Conference is a unique and special event to share with other believers in the study of God's Word concerning the spiritual battles of life and how to face these destructive battles head on to get the spiritual freedom and victory you have been looking for. The Invisible War Conference will be held on Saturday, October 17th at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Fort Worth. That's Saturday, October 17th, at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Fort Worth. To register, go to theinvisiblewar.org and click on the conference registration prompts. That's theinvisiblewar.org. If your life or the life of a family member or friend seems to be caving in and you just don't know what to do, this conference is a must for you. Saturday, October 17th in Fort Worth. Register today. Now some closing words from Dr. Randall.
Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.